Good morning. It's wasn't that wonderful, that worship time? Man, I just enjoyed that so much. Well, we're going to look at a subject in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. And it's a book that I haven't spent as much time I should have in. But the nice thing about it is that it's full of just wonderful, wonderful teaching. So what we're going to be talking about, the Father's promise. Our Heavenly Father promised us something. And it's something that we don't talk too much about today because of it's so much exaggeration. But as I said, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. But we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And I trust that you will be blessed. But I hope more so that I want you to be blessed, of course. But I want you to be challenged. We all know that there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. But the book that we're going to be talking about mainly is Acts. And when I think of that, I think of the 66 books, as you know, 40 different writers, about 1,500 years to complete it by the working. But the most important thing in this slide, I want you to see that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to take these first five verses of Acts chapter 1 and try to apply it. I love the Word of God. I spend a lot of time in the Word of God. And some people say, are you a theologian? I says, no, I'm not a theologian. But I am a practical theologian. I like to look at the Word of God and I like to say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Help me. I want to be more like you. And as we go through the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God, we'll be more like Him. And that's what I want to try to accomplish today. Yes? The book of Acts. What a tremendous book. It's the second book, I believe, written by Luke. Luke, as you can see, if you look at Acts chapter 1 there, we'll just get in your Bibles, please. Follow along. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. In the first book, that means the writer of Acts, which I believe is Luke, wrote another book. And I believe that was the Gospel of Luke. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. So we find that this is his second book. And we find that he wrote it to all of us. Two books, one bringing us to a certain point, death and burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and then it carries on. And it's such a practical book. And I challenge you to get into it at home. I know you're studying other things. The title was added sometime after Luke wrote it. Some have said the book of Acts would better be named some of the Acts of some of the apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But we know that it was written, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we can have confidence that what is in it is good force. According to verse 1, the author describes himself as having written a former book. An examination and comparison to the book of Luke indicates that Luke was the author of both books. Luke describes himself as being an eyewitness to some of this by using the pronoun we, such as in chapter 16, verse 10 to 13. So this is just a preliminary to get us into the book, and now we're going to see exactly what is in the book. As I said, it was the beloved physician. He traveled with Paul. They did things together. We find that he was a Gentile. The Greek is formal and Paulish, frequent with Paul, and with Paul in Rome, in the Roman prison. So he spent a lot of time. He was a personal physician of Paul. Now, the next verse that we're going to just look at very briefly is one of my theme verses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come unto you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as many of you know, and I certainly appreciate your prayers, when my wife and I got married, this was our theme verse. We wanted to live by this verse. And even when we continue serving the Lord as a married couple in Jerusalem, our Jerusalem, your Jerusalem, is your neighborhood, your family, your friends, where you shop, where you get your gas, where you go to Starbucks, where you go to Tim Hortons, wherever you go, that's your Jerusalem. And that was my Jerusalem. And my wife enjoyed ministering in beautiful British Columbia and Vancouver mainly at that particular time at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission, and all that. And then it says here in our verse that we're to be witnesses in Judea. That's the province. Jerusalem was a city. The province was Judea. And that's what my wife and I tried to do too. We tried to serve the Lord in BC. We spoke in mission and all the assemblies around British Columbia and up into Prince George and so on. But then it says, and Samaria. Well, that's another province. So as some of you know, in 1967, my wife and I went to La Belle Province of Quebec and served the Lord there for 12 years. That was our Samaria. And then the hard one came. And to the ends of the earth, where could we serve the Lord? And that's when we went in 1985 to Argentina and served the Lord there about 15 years. But this is written to you and I. Now, some people say, well, the Lord hasn't led me to the uttermost parts of the world. But you supporting your missionaries is the way we can accomplish this in our own lives. Maybe the Lord is calling you. And as we're going to look at these verses here, these first five verses, you're going to see that you have a part in the whole ministry and the important part. In Acts, for instance, the first seven chapters is in Jerusalem. And then the 8 to 12 is in Judea and Samaria. And then 13 to 28 is to the uttermost parts of the world, to the ends of the earth. So here we are in the book. We have the promise. And if you look in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Luke 24, we have that promise of the Holy Spirit. 24:49. And it says here in the Word of God, 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That's Luke chapter 24:49. And then in chapter 1, verse 4, we're going to see, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. It says here, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of wrong teaching about the Holy Spirit. I believe biblically, and if you don't agree with this, please come and see me after. I'm in no hurry to run away. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, come in today, come in to stay, come into my life, Lord Jesus, when we become converted, regenerated, born again, a child of God, a part of the family of God, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. One of the words we use, the old English, he goads us, he encourages us, he stimulates us. Yes, and he gives us a kick in the pants sometime. I need it. And he has done that many times. I say that reverently. So you, being here this morning, if you participated of the bread and the wine and you're part of the family of God, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to cry Abba Father 100 times. You don't have to roll on the floor. You don't have to shout. You receive the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to be talking a lot about that. Now if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life, that's your problem. We're not robots. We have the choice. We have the Spirit. We have the power. We're going to see that. And whether we use that power or not, it's up to you. And I trust that after this morning that you will. Let's read these few verses here in Acts. In the first book, I told Theophilus about everything Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom. What we're going to be talking about this morning, first of all, notice it underlined there, to do and teach. We're going to talk about that. We're going to look at a practical application of that. And I'm not stretching the truth. Then after that, we're going to talk about chosen apostles. But we're going to talk twice about the apostles because in the appearing to the apostles from time to time. And then we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Then after that, let's just read this. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about that. Do not leave Jerusalem. So are you ready for a practical application of this verses? We're going to talk about walk the talk. Kind of corny, but I like it. Walk the talk. We're going to talk about that. And then after talking about walk the talk, we're going to be talking about, what happened? Someone want to go back there and put that on, please? Ken? Yeah. I don't know if it went to sleep or what, but anyway, we have to walk the talk. And then what we're going to be talking about, you have been chosen. From this verse, we're going to see that. First, walk the talk, and then we're going to talk about you have been chosen. And then we're going to talk about sent. Sent. Then we're going to carry on and we're going to talk about kingdom builders. Kingdom builders. And then after that, the fifth thing, wait. Wait on the Lord. So walk the talk. You have been chosen. Sent. Kingdom builders. Wait on the Lord. These five subjects, I believe, are here in this first few verses of Luke. And I believe that we can look at them in the light of your life and my life. It says here, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. To do and to teach. Believe it or not, Christ has no body on earth but yours. We talk about the church, but the church isn't this. You're the church. I'm the church. God has chosen us. No hands but yours. Jesus' hands not here, but your hands are here. Your feet, no feet here, Jesus, but you are his feet. You are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. You are the feet with which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. People will see you before they see Jesus. You are the light. No, you're not the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but we are to show people that he is the light of the world. They look at us. The ministry of Christ on earth was not what the ministry of Christ on earth was only what he began to do and teach. He continues his work and ministry every day through you and I. You and I have that responsibility. We're going to see that we have been chosen, that God wants to use us to represent his son on earth here. It is such an important responsibility. I like what F.F. Bruce says. As the gospel tells us what Jesus began to do and teach, so Acts tells what he continues to do and to teach by his Spirit. But even like better what John Stott said. Look at what he said. He said, just about the same, Jesus' ministry on earth, exercised personally and publicly, was followed by his ministry from heaven, exercised through his Holy Spirit by his apostle, by you and I. We are writing a story. Acts of the Apostles is up to the end of Acts, but we're continue writing a story. People are looking at us. They're studying us. They're saying, what does that person have? Why is that person the way he is? He's different. She's different. She's got something I want. She does things so correct. She does things so right. People are looking at us 24/7. Notice the phrase, to do and to teach. One's teaching is measured by what one does. And what Jesus did went with hands in hand with what Jesus said we ought to do the same. So we are the feet and the hands. We must walk the talk, not just talk. I like the song we used to sing, let's talk about Jesus. Remember that one? Yeah. But let's walk it. Let's not just talk about Jesus. Let's show people that we are part of the family of God. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So that's the first point here, because that I think is very clear that we are to do what Jesus began to do, and he's left us here. He could call angels just like that. He could come down with a million angels and evangelize the world just like that. But he doesn't. He chose you and I. Isn't that exciting? And in this room, we have so many languages, so many cultures. We could evangelize Vancouver if we get on track. We have the material. We have the internet. We have everything at our disposal. You see the people standing on the corner. But that's not the truth. You have the truth. You have the Word of God. Those young men, that such beautiful young men that walk down the street with white short sleeve shirts on and black ties and a little thing here, they haven't got the truth. They've got Joseph Smith's truth. We've got the truth from Jesus. This is what we are to tell people about. You have beautiful tracts back there. You have a beautiful literature back there. Let's get out and let's use them. I like this verse here. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And if we call ourselves Christians, we should be doing the same thing that Jesus did. And he went from place to place talking about his Father. He was here to glorify his Father. And we're here to do the same thing. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And we are the ones to tell them about Jesus. We are the ones to invite them to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We are the ones to give them the Bible, the truth, the Word of God. But as soon as you get into the book of Acts, you find that the followers of Jesus are not only bold, but they are downright courageous. Something dramatic has happened in their lives. Because, you know, before this, they were, I'm going to use the word chickens. I believe the disciples, they were hiding all the time. Peter was the only one that whipped out his sword and cut the ear off of the servant. All the other ones, poof, they took off. And over and over and over, we find the disciples backwards about being forwards. We find the disciple taking two steps forward and three steps back. But now we find them in the book of Acts. They're courageous. Now, I'm not blaming for them. They didn't have the full inspirational Bible that we have, but I believe that what made them different was the resurrection. They seen that Christ rose from the dead, and that gave them power, and they received the Holy Spirit. I think it's also because of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and they became courageous. The dramatic transformation of these men from the, oh, you of little faith. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Oh, you of little faith. We have it, dear brothers and sisters, and this is not a message for the next meeting. This is your message. This is for you and for me. We have to be bold. We have to be courageous. We have to stand up for Jesus. So many false groups, you know, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. He gave them instructions, and when the Holy Spirit came under them, we find from the Word of God that they got the power. And we have the same thing today, and we should use that for his glory. The ascension of Christ is where Luke's first book closes and Acts opens. Acts starts, as we see later, with the ascension and the fact that Jesus was alive, exalted to God's right hand. But he's coming back. But in the meantime, you and I have a job to do. We have a ministry to do. And that is to tell other men and women, boys and girls, about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. After saying this, he was taken up into the clouds, which they were watching, while they were watching, they could no longer see him. Exciting. Second point, quickly, time is gone. The second point is, keep calm, you've been chosen. You have been chosen, we're going to see that. Now, where do I get that? We'll see. You have been chosen. You have been selected. You have been set apart, and you been chosen. Where do I get that? I get that from the second point. And the second point is what we underlined in that first slide there, is that they were chosen apostles. They were chosen. Now, I'm not going to say I'm an apostle, but in today's language, you know, language changes. Well, I used to sing songs that the words in the songs I can't sing anymore because they have double meaning. But apostle means one that, in the biblical sense, one that has been chosen of God. And we're going to see after that has sent out by God and has seen Jesus. Now we, are, in a sense, you can say no if you want. We are, in a sense, apostles. Good, I got a couple of nods out there, so I'm on track, I hope. But I'm not an apostle like in the Bible, but I'm a chosen one of God. You here who took the bread and the wine, you've been chosen of God. You've been selected. You've been set apart. That's what it says here. He was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles, sent ones. And that's exciting. And if you look at the word apostles, that's what it means. It's a messenger. It's the idea of being sent forth. And you have been sent forth. God has called you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We have been chosen. We are messengers of God. You're going to say, well, I didn't go to Regent College. I can't do it. Baloney, excuse me. You don't have to go to Regent College. You don't have to go to Northwest Baptist Theological College. You have the Word of God. You have the power. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got to let that Holy Spirit work through us and get out there in the streets of beautiful British Columbia, beautiful Vancouver, and tell men and women, boys and girls about Jesus. Chosen, elected, picked out. You have been chosen. And that is so important. Do you feel chosen? If you don't, see, you can reach people I can't reach. I go up to a young person and say, hi, God loves you. You know what they're going to say? That old guy, he's passé. He's gone. He's finished. I mean, he's over 70 years old. But if you're a young person, you go up to somebody and say, hi, you know, I was at Young People's on Saturday. Woo! Did we have fun? Why don't you come? They'll listen to you. I'm doing a lot of work in old folks home now. They'll listen to me. They're on their way out. I go up to a person, I go, ni hao, ni hao, ma. And they look at me and they say, blah, blah, and they start talking to me. That's all I can say. But you can carry on. Or I'll go up to somebody, I'll say, mabuti, mabuti po. And then they'll talk to me in Filipino language and I can't go any farther. But when I go up to person, I'll say, hola, que tal, como está usted, mi querido amigo? Then I can tell him about Jesus. Or I could go up to say, bonjour, comment ça va? That guy can talk to him. But you can talk to a lot of people that I can't. Maybe you're Korean, maybe you're Chinese, maybe you're Filipino. But all these people are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. And that's our job. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. His apostle would receive a similar authority by the same means. And you are apostle Jesus Christ in the sense that you have been a sent one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come unto you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, to the othermost part of the world. Yes, you've got the power. Christ has rose from the dead. Then, as we read in the verses here, we see the word apostle again a little later on. You make the church what it is. Alex, your name's there. Oh, Don, your name's there. All of you people here, I haven't got all your name, there's not enough. But all of your name up there, and all of you sitting in your seats right now, if you're a child of God, you're a sent one. You're a sent one. Don't be upset if your name's not there. God knows you, and God knows that he wants you to serve him. So let's get with the program and realize that we are sent ones. We are apostles. God has called us for a work to do. Now, Blanquita, for instance, she was sent by God with her husband to Bolivia. I mean, you might have been sent to the grocery store. Maybe somebody in the grocery store is waiting to hear about Jesus. Maybe somebody at Starbucks is waiting for Jesus, waiting to hear. I left on the side there, I bought a whole bunch of these for you people. This is absolutely awesome. This is a little track, thank you. How many of you go for coffee? How many of you go to Tim Horton? How many go to Denny's or some of these places and you leave a tip there? Well, leave this with it. This is what means to be a sent one, to be used of God out in the world to tell men and women about him. So we are sent ones. Let's not forget that. God is so good to us. God has given us everything. Then we're kingdom builders. Where do I get that from? Well, I see it here. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. You're a kingdom builder. You're building the kingdom. Now, the poor disciples, you know, I don't blame them, but they didn't understand it. They really didn't understand it. They thought they were going to have the kingdom here on earth. And we find from over and over in Scripture that they were mistaken. They wanted Jesus to tear down the Roman Empire, build up the kingdom here on earth. They would reign with Jesus on earth. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about his kingdom. Jesus wants you and I to build his kingdom, not on earth, but in heaven. He wants men and women to come to know him. The kingdom of God at this time is spiritual, not political. We used to sing, "This world is not my home." Excuse me. Yeah, I'm not going to sing it because you'll all run out. I still got about 2 minutes. But this world is not our home, but our kingdom is in heaven. And we are kingdom builders. That's what we find in this verse. That God wants you and I to go out there and tell men and women to get them saved, to be a part of the kingdom of God. Are you a kingdom builder? Are you doing it? The Bible tells us that. Christ's kingdom. The disciples still showed some confusion about the kingdom of God, as we see in the second chapter of Acts. Jesus Christ sat on the throne of David in a way that the apostles did not fully understand beforehand. And we find that in Scripture here. They thought Jesus was going to build his kingdom here on earth. But Jesus is using you and me to build his heavenly kingdom. Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Are we doing it right? We shall see their lack of understanding in the question they ask in Acts 1:6. Look what in Acts. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" They were Jewish, and they wanted the Jews, the Romans, out of there, and they wanted to come in and restore the. So it's not a political, it's a spiritual. The last part is one that I'm talking to myself more than any of these others. The disciples were told to return to Jerusalem and wait there in Jerusalem. Why? Well, wait on the Lord requires patience. Jesus told them to wait take it easy. Calm down. Go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and then he's going to give you the power, and then you're going to go out and do my work. And I find it sometimes hard to wait. I'm a mover. I like to move. I like to get going. I like to get the program on the road. I like to, which sometimes is good and sometimes is bad. But if we wait on the Lord, it requires patience and trust. And we're going to see that as we go along. Waiting on the Lord reminds us that God is in control. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do his work. And we're going to look at these a little closer. Waiting on the Lord increases my strength. So are you waiting on the Lord? Wait on the Lord. Don't run ahead of him. Don't lag behind. Walk with God. Do his will. Again, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. How many times, even here in beautiful Canada, people have said to me, calm down, Ron, take it easy, not so quick. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. And I say, oh, no, come on. Let's get moving. And I'm wrong. So this spoke to me when I was looking. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And that is so true, so true. Wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord again, trust. Waiting on the Lord, control. Waiting on the Lord, God will do his work. Waiting on the Lord increases our strength. Are we waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord, yes. We must trust in the Lord. We can't do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Solo, by myself, nada. Rien, nothing. But with God, and if you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. He'll give you. When I went to school, I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6, and failed grade 8 twice. And I can say it publicly. That you have to be a pretty bad dummy to fail the same grade twice. But today, after waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord, je parle français, je parle espagnol, and I could go on and on, but God is so great. Great things he's done and great things he's going to do. And he wants to do those things through each and every one of you. But we have to trust him. We have to wait on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. God is in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. God is in control. God is working. Let him work through you. Conclusion. Time is gone. God is the great mover. We are to work. Work for the night is coming. In patient trust. Remembering that God is in control and doing his work, increasing our strength. We will exercise the move of God on our lives and in our assembly. Trust in the Lord. That's the only way we can get through it. I trust this has been an inspiration to you. And the last slide. Are you writing a chapter with your life, dear fellow followers of Christ? The Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of Ron Edgecombe. Are we writing? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again for this message. We just pray, Lord, that these five things will sink into me first. That I will wait on you, that I won't rush ahead like I do too many times, Lord. I confess that. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we go downstairs, and thank you for the refreshments. Thank you for the fellowship. And we just pray for the second meeting that your name will be uplifted also, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.